It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We've got a great, great show. You know why, you ask? Because we have Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, dude?
What's going on, David?
All right, the outlaw, Kyle, yep. From LaGrange.
All right, look, no, you're not an outlaw. If you have tough issues, you're an outlaw.
Okay, well, I'm saying you didn't say you were an outlaw. I said you were.
Oh,
it's all good.
All right.
So, and then we also have the other outlaw, and that would be Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Hope you guys are having an excellent week and looking forward to talking about the sixth-ranked Cougs coming to Menchie's.
Oh, absolutely, and what a great thing. In fact, can I start off the show a non-ECU item? You both guys already know about it, but I didn't tell you. Can I start off with something real quick?
You have our permission.
Is it Blue Chew related?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is actually something, both I told you, and I want to get Kyle's blood pressure up, so maybe you need to take a blood pressure pill.
All right.
So this really bothers me, and I'll tell you why. I should have mentioned it on the racing show on Monday, and I forgot for Talking Racing with Mike Ray on the Sports Objective Network, our other great podcast with Mike Ray, our good friend. Jimmy Johnson, I told both of you guys in a group text about this. They're actually, and I saw it again tonight, it reminded me on Facebook, but it's Jimmy Johnson, the race car driver, VIP. And you get a chance to meet Jimmy Johnson and a photo like Top 101, meet and greet. And guess how much it costs? Not $10, $20, or $100. Only $648 per person.
And I was Does it include a race ticket?
I don't. It says it just has
only $640.
$648.
Dang, I'm going to take my whole family.
I mean, it's got to include a race ticket, or do you get the ride in his
No, it's not like a lot of cool stuff like a lot of the concerts have. That you pay a buttload of money, but you get some cool stuff.
Where's it going to be at?
Every racetrack in NASCAR, this on the NASCAR circuit. I mean, they have a list of all the races.
So, wait a minute. For $640, you get what?
In other words, to meet Jimmy Johnson, and you get to take a picture with him. And it says, and much more. I don't know what the much more is, but it just bothers me because how many NASCAR fans?
Well, I want to know what the much more is, too. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't get $6.40 to meet Jimmy Johnson. So, let alone $640, I don't give two crap about Jimmy Johnson.
The reason why I brought that up, it bothered me about the price tag. And you guys, especially Kyle knows, when you go to wrestling events and they have all these Comic-Cons, I mean, it's like $20 to meet, like, big-time people.
Sometimes there's a sign-in fee on top of your admission charge.
Right.
I've never paid that kind of money for anybody's autograph. I mean, I think the most I paid for Mick Foley's on my wrestlers, Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Mankind, Dude Love, whatever you want to call him, big time, one of the biggest wrestlers from the Attitude Era. I think that's the most I paid, and it was $35, and that was for, he signed an 8x10, you got a photo with him, and a DVD. I mean,
that's not bad.
No.
He's one of the biggest wrestlers of all time.
Yeah,
and especially
exactly.
in that era. That's exactly right.
But that's the most I've paid to meet anybody. I mean, it's you know, I personally wouldn't pay $6.40 to meet Jimmy Johnson. I might not walk outside if he was in my front yard, and I just don't care.
My thing is, you're a fan,
and you were interested, and then the price just outraged you. And it's a turnoff. Actually, it's a turnoff.
Yeah.
If anything, it should make you hate Jimmy Johnson now.
I mean, why would you? He's not desperate. A lot of these wrestlers never made any kind of money compared to what Jimmy Johnson's made.
Well, Mick Foley's on one of them. Mick's made a lot of money.
No, I know he has. I'm talking about the guy. A lot of these guys are living off of these shows.
Yeah, as far as wrestlers go, and I'm sure some former NASCAR drivers that,
correct.
You know,
yeah.
Not the top guys, but, you know, take somebody like hell, I don't know, Jimmy Spencer. You know, probably, you know, needs, but what's he going to get for an autograph? $5? So, I mean,
It bothered me. And then I was thinking, is there any pirate? Is there any person, period, that you would, I can't think of, no offense to my
I met David Girard. I got an autographed mini helmet from David Girard. You know what he cost me? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. David is a real pirate, a great guy, and he doesn't need to do that kind of stuff. It just feels very sorry, the Jimmy Johnson fans. It just feels very sleazy. I didn't like it, and
I don't mind paying for autographs at all.
No,
but it needs to be a reasonable price.
Right, and these Comic Cons, like Jim Cornette, for example. You get, what is that sandwich he's got?
I know the one, he's doing one in Richmond in May, yeah. I believe, but the one in Chicago is $60. You get a 2-hour meeting, it's called the Stand Up Meltdown. You have a beef with Jim Cornette. For 2 hours, he's going to talk and hang out, do a show, have a meet and greet, give you an autograph 8x10. You can take a photo with him, and you're getting an Italian beef sandwich for $60. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. And Jimmy Johnson wants you to spend $640. I mean, that's insane. I don't know what's going on there. Bubba.
I'm here.
Bubba, it's you and me. It's me and you. So let's keep the show rolling until Dave rejoins us. I don't know what's going on with Mr. Richmond, but So, Bubba, what's on your mind, man? You got anybody you want to complain about overcharging for autographs?
Not that I can think of right offhand, but I certainly would not spend that for anyone. I can't imagine, like you were saying, I mean, whether pirate, no pirate, I mean, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, who cares? I wouldn't spend that for anyone. To be honest with you, I don't recall ever having paid for an autograph. Now maybe my
who would
dad,
you like
my
to get an autograph from?
I guess maybe the closest I've paid. I mean, I guess the closest I've come to paying for an autograph, excuse me, is maybe like going to something like the Crosby golf tournament. I mean, you're obviously paying for admission, but then the main reason you went to a golf tournament like the Crosby is to see the different celebrities playing in it, former NFL actors, Major League Baseball players, whoever. And then you get a lot of autographs and pictures and those sorts of things there.
What about somebody like, you know, I don't know if you were a big Nolan Ryan fan as I was. We're in that same age range. What about somebody like that, a legend? Who is somebody you would pay for their autograph?
It would have to be somebody like you're saying, where one, you may be it's something that you would really want to add to your collection, but then also maybe you got multiple pieces signed and then like we're passing one on to your child or somebody like a close friend or something that you could flip and make money on.
So you wouldn't even pay like $5 for David Garrard's autograph?
Well, I actually already have an autograph card, I believe, from David Garrard, and that
well,
was.
You got to help me. David's doing a signing at Barnes & Noble in Greenville. He's really not doing a signing at Barnes & Noble in Greenville. This is incredible.
Right, yeah.
And you take your helmet and you find out there's a $5 charge. Are you going to pay that
$5? I'm sure I probably would.
Okay, yeah, it's $5. I mean,
but right, I mean, but just generally speaking, I mean, no, I mean, not. It's just something that, I don't know.
I don't have a problem paying for autographs at all, but it needs to be a reasonable price. You know,
yeah.
I would say somebody like Nolan Ryan, I'd be willing to pay, oh, maybe upwards of $50, but that's it. That you know, I'm not paying any more than that. $600 for anybody's autograph. I mean, no. I mean,
right.
Now, you know,
and this is a different animal to an extent. I mean, because this was his business, but my brother-in-law doesn't really do it anymore. But in the last several years, he had a sports memorabilia business, and he had traveled around the country with his dad going to different shows. And I know, like when RG3 was coming out of Baylor.
Right, yeah, I went to the Redskins.
And, going to the Redskins. But yeah, but at the time when they were – like his he had a ton of mini Baylor helmets and Baylor jerseys and different things that he'd gone out to, I don't know if it was Fort Worth or wherever in Texas, for a huge autograph show, and he paid X amount and to get X number of things signed.
On eBay.
Yeah, and he had full size helmets, and then also the mini helmets, jerseys, you name it, and those things sold pretty quickly. But what was the last thing you asked me?
I didn't ask you anything. I said he probably flipped them on eBay.
Well, he did. He did. He, a lot. Some of them he flipped on eBay, and then some he just sold through his website.
Yeah. Yeah, $640, and we're still talking about the same thing for Jimmy Johnson. Autograph, wanting $640 for a meet and greet and autograph. Evidently, you get some extra stuff. Maybe a Lowe's gift card's included. You know, maybe I would drop the $640 maybe for some a long time with Mila Kunis. But, you know, otherwise. Hey, David's back. I don't know what happened to you, David, but welcome back to the podcast.
I'm back, yes, I'm back. I didn't realize for a long time I had it on mute, so. I was talking for Ellis. That was fun. Talking and you couldn't hear me, so.
You said that whole time it was on mute. Wow, you're really stupid.
No, it was for a few. It was for a few minutes, and then I'm back. So.
All right. So next topic, Mr. Richmond.
Yes, I wanted to bring that up because I told you guys in a group text that came up on Facebook, and it just really bothered me. So anyway, let's talk ECU, which I'm very happy with. And very excited about the direction we're going. I know one of the topics Bubba had on, and I saw it, I believe it was yesterday. No, the day before yesterday, is I really love how, you know, we heard about John Gilbert. Yes, he's very quiet. He's this or that. I really love that new segment, 60 Seconds with AD. I really like that. I thought it was good on social media.
Yeah, and actually, if you remember back from when we interviewed Jamie Arrington, one of the strengths he said that Gilbert had was his relationship with the student athletes,
right?
And how he gave out his cell phone number to all the student athletes at USM, which is something Holland did, and I'm sure Gilbert's like the same thing here.
He said he was going to do that.
His weakness was being a rah-rah guy and being, you know, maybe boisterous. Like, for lack of a better term, with the fans. But he's done a good job of communicating through writing, you know, those letters on ecupirates.com. And that was cool, the segment with him and the young lady. What sport did she play? I don't even remember.
Softball.
Yeah, it was Ashley Weingart, who's actually from right there in Greenville, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So she he seemed very comfortable doing that. She seemed comfortable with him. So he definitely seems to have a good rapport with student athletes. He's doing good. He's doing things like that pretty well. So far so good with him. No complaints with John Gilbert so far. If there's any, don't worry, I'll complain. But so far so good, John. I like that segment, and it's a good idea. And I like so far the direction of the new administration. No complaints at all so far.
You know, what's funny is that the very fact that, everybody was like that he's not the rah-rah guy, but I feel like he's been way out there in the front lines, talking to people, getting to know people, very refreshing, like we've said so many times.
He has. I think he's been coached to do it, which is
smart. Yeah.
You know, the whole letter.
Dave Hart.
And then the whole letter from the helm. I am sure he was told that the East Carolina – the Pirate Nation really really liked the letter from the desk of Terry Holland. And, and kudos to him for taking direction and suggestions. I mean, because you can be told 100 things, and if you choose, well, I'm just going to do it my way, I'm not going to listen to XYZ, and then it don't make a damn.
We've lived through that for the last 5 years.
You have to take suggestions from people and leave your ego at the damn door.
Yeah.
And, say Ryan, Ryan Robinson, he's really open to taking people's suggestions. He wants feedback.
Yep.
And, Shelly, just thinking back to the person here plays, Shelly Vinegar, Shelly knew everything. She didn't need anybody's advice.
Right. You know, when I was telling you last week with the clarification about the parking passes. He emailed me back, not even, what was it, I don't know, 8 hours later. I mean, so I emailed him one night, and he emailed me back the next morning. I mean,
right.
Even 12 hours, so pretty quick turnaround, and he definitely clarified things for me, and that's exactly what you want. These guys right now are leaders. We didn't have leaders before. I don't know what they were, but they were not leaders, and I think that's what
Mooches.
Now the people, what's bad is there's a lot of great people, as we've mentioned many times, that worked really hard in the ward building, and they had to put up with the, as I've said many times, you're not as good as the weakest link, you're as good as the top. And if the people aren't good at the top, everybody else suffers. And that's what we dealt with under the Confer administration, and that's the regime. And so that's why I'm happy with the way things are now.
Yeah, so far so good. Bobby, you want to say
Yeah, a couple of other things I wanted to mention. That's what we were talking earlier before we went on the air, as far as a beach towel giveaway that's going to be taking place at
tonight's
game against the Houston Cougars. So on the first 500 students will receive a pretty cool looking beach towel with our new Adidas pattern and the helmet logo and the skull and bones in the center, purple towel with the yellow accent. So it's very sharp looking. Hopefully we'll have all 500 given away.
What about former students? I'm a former student.
Yeah. So, it's sharp looking, and hopefully this is one that's out there for sale somewhere.
Yeah, can somebody get Bubba a beach towel? If you're a
and just give me a beach towel.
Yeah,
I can see if I
maybe stop begging Ryan Robinson.
Yeah, if you're a student out there, you don't want your beach towel, give it to Bubba. He'll send you an autograph right by 10, and only cost you a beach towel.
I can see it right now. Bubba's outside the doors, like looking, and there's some college kid walks by. He's like, "Hey man, can I give you like $20 for that towel?" God, I'm broke. Yeah, man, that'd be great.
Hey man, quit staring.
Hey man,
at my
let me use your one card.
At your girlfriend, I was looking at your towel.
Yeah. I'm off the market. I'm already married with kids.
Yeah, I was looking at your towel.
Yeah, that's it.
But in addition to that, also something we haven't talked about that I recall is Mike Houston's full page ad in the Daily Reflector.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. That was something you had actually seen with an outgoing coach in Cliff Kingsbury. He did that in the Lubbock paper. I don't recall the name of that newspaper, but he had done that right after he had gotten fired, thanking Red Raider Nation. So it was pretty cool to see Mike Houston do that.
He's not fired.
Right now, and just
by the way, the
doing what he can do to engage the fans and promote season ticket sales.
Yeah. By the way, did Kingsbury land on his feet or what?
Yeah.
No, that was cool. I didn't get a chance to read it. Either one of you guys get a chance to read the ad?
I haven't seen it. No, I saw like somebody post on Facebook.
I was not able to read all of it, but I was able I was able to read a bit of it.
Yeah, I saw a picture of somebody that somebody posted on.
Was that ECU football on the Facebook page or something?
I don't remember. Somebody posted it, a picture of the ad, but I didn't get a chance to read it. I don't live in Greenville. I don't normally buy the Daily Reflector, to be honest. Nothing against the Daily Reflector. I just don't buy it. But nonetheless, it's awesome that Mike did that, and it's good for. Good to create excitement and season ticket sales. And Coach Houston, if you want to take out a podcast ad, you can do that here too.
For those of you who may not have seen that ad with Coach Houston, it of course has made its way around social media, but we'll put it out there and let you get a glimpse of that for those of you out of towners who may not have already seen it.
What about, when you're talking about the letter, don't forget, folks, the football, spring football practice starts March the 15th. And the spring game, they want everybody to come to. We're working on, hoping to have some details, by the way, by the weekend, guys, on where we can announce our spring football party that we're having. We're going to have a live podcast. The guys and I will be probably the usual place, but we're going to work out details and time and all that we'll figure that
ain't
out.
No,
but
party like a spring football party, because the spring football party don't stop.
That's right. Kyle's going to do his dance routine. That's going to be great.
Absolutely. It'll be great.
But we'll be talking about that, and probably in the next few days or so we can finalize everything where we can announce that. We're working on that. Again, April 13th, as many Pirate fans, as many, especially the former players, we've got to have you there. That's going to be tremendous.
Right.
And, you know, with basketball.
And current players.
Yeah, well, of course. Basketball, I want to mention that I'm still frustrated with our fans. Can I just, or not all our fans, but some of our fans. I'm sick and tired of the people that are not following the program, who are already down on the program. They're clueless of what's going on in our program.
I mean, do you think that's a large group of people, Dave?
It's enough to upset me that people think that, you know, Dooley was going to come in here and win 20 or 30 games in the first year. It's totally ridiculous. And we all knew that it was going to be, I mean, my God, with the program as a whole, we haven't had that many winning seasons, much less a winning tradition here. And I think with, as far as the recruiting, I mean, Bubba can tell you, he follows even more closer basketball recruiting than I do. And the basketball guys, if they get who Igo's saying they're going to get, then in the next two or three years, we won't be a joke in basketball anymore. Right, Bubba?
No, I definitely agree. And it's funny that recent interview we had with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and Big Ten Network.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know, he brought up the point. And now, obviously, he's someone that has an outside perspective, although he did have, I think it was his niece or somebody that attended ECU. But anyway, he is just saying he is curious to what Pirate Nation expects out of Joe Dooley and then how quickly they expect it. And he said, is it going to be a situation where maybe it's 4 years in and we haven't been to an NCAA tournament? Are we going
to
be pressing
looking
the panic button and looking to fire Joe Dooley? Depending on how things go, I would certainly hope not if we're developing as a program the way I think we're going to over the next 3 to 4 years.
I was going to add to that, Bubba. I know Kyle would agree as well. These coaches, the four coaches we have now, they don't have to be here at East Carolina. Why are some of these fans thinking that, I mean, these guys could get a job anywhere. Joe Dooley, are you kidding me? I mean, he can get a job anywhere. Raphael Chilius?
The fourth coach.
Ken Patasky?
Oh, you mean our assistant? I'm sorry.
I was thinking
you meant head coaches. I was thinking Cliff Godwin, Joe Dooley, Mike Houston.
No. I'm talking about basketball.
The basketball staff.
They can get anybody. They can go anywhere. We've got a great staff. Give them time.
It's going to take time. I don't think most people are negative, really. I think it's expected. Next year, I would expect to see a much better project on the court. And then I would think by year four, I would think we'll have a winning season. Will we make the NCAA tournament by year four? I don't know. But I think we'll certainly be having winning seasons by that point.
I would not be surprised right now if at all, if we have a winning season next year.
It wouldn't surprise me either, really.
I think we'll be flirting with one next year. Because you look at it this year and with those games that – I mean, you know who they are, and GMU, High Point, Charlotte, and then a couple of – at least two to three league games. And we had a couple of overtime games down at South Florida, Tulsa at home. We're not far from being right there at 500 this year.
Right.
So I really think with the new pieces that we're going to be right there at 500 or a winning season next year in year two.
Yeah.
But the point I was going to make a couple minutes ago as far as the Mike DeCourcy comment, just this is something I started to say in that interview, but I didn't say it, is that if you look back at the history of East Carolina basketball in the last 35 to 40 years, I think it's something like the mid-70s since then. So really 40-plus years, we've had something like three seasons where we've been at 500 or above 500 in conference play, which is just mind-boggling to think that the best we've been in conference play is 9-7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nine and seven. And that's happened two or three times. And then there was one time or two times that we went 8-8, and that's it.
So that's the reason why DeCourcy who I respect immensely, he's correct. He's like, you know, in other words, we don't have any culture here as far as basketball. It's not like East Carolina football, for example, where we're about to lose our mind because we expect to win in football. Nobody expects us to win in basketball. So give the dudes, give the coaches time, and when they do, and, you know, after 4 or 5 years, if things are really bad, then maybe you can, maybe we need to take a look at that. But until then, let them get their, I'm starting to sound like Montgomery fans. Let's just get the recruiting classes in.
I mean, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit. I mean, it's year one. I think you're beating a drum that don't need to be beat. I don't think anybody's saying that stuff.
No, I think there is an element there that they are, there was a big wave of, you know, optimism. And I think there's some people that were unrealistic. And I've said all along to be patient. I think, and the other thing that Kyle, I want to rewind the tape for you and give you mucho credit. You said it early in the year, so let's go back to that. If Sean Williams does not get suspended, look at those games, and you said it. You said, guys, this could hurt us, and you were correct.
Oh, yeah.
The JMU game.
JMU, Charlotte.
The Charlotte. You look at the High Point game, we lose by 3 points at home, and it was right around there. That I think a little bit after that he came back, but he missed 6 games. And games that the only game that we were really – had no chance was a Georgia Tech game. We just played. I mean, that was over way early. Other than that, I think there were a lot of games we should have, could have, would, and we didn't. And but anyway, the other thing,
obviously Houston.
Right. That one. I'm saying the non-conference.
Non-conference.
Yeah, Bubba,
gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. You're right. The Houston game was, God, that was dreadful. And we're talking about Houston again. We're having it tonight, but. The other thing I want to mention, and then we'll talk basketball if you want to, Bubba, and we'll get Sam on the line, is I want to mention the folks. I'm already seeing some stuff about, have you guys heard any about people that are being unrealistic, I think, or upset about the baseball season so far?
Well, you know what? You got high expectations. You remember what happened in 2017.
Yep.
People being upset, I'm okay with it. Do you have high expectations? Do you have a winning culture and a winning tradition? When you lose to Monmouth and you lose to Air Force on back-to-back days, I have no problem with people being upset. Without those expectations and without winning, there wouldn't be reason to be upset. So with high success becomes high expectations, and when you don't meet those expectations, people are going to be upset. So I have no problem with it, but people are going to be mad, upset, and say, you know, but to give up on the season, and I
think right.
There's only a fragment of people.
No, that's right.
Dramatic. But, you know, look, if the next 4 games, Elon, Utah, Wright State, and Western, we need to go at least 3-1. If we go 2-2, I'm going to start to worry a little bit that what's going on, because the talent in this lineup, we are not producing the runs we should be producing.
That's the irony of this whole thing is you think of East Carolina and you think, that a lot of offense, and you worry about the middle relief, you worry about some of the starting pitching maybe, but you always know that we have a shot in the game because, oh, my God, these guys can put up a lot of runs on the board. And that's the one area that I've been surprised, but I think
right,
that Spencer Brickhouse and
you know,
Spencer Brickhouse,
Spencer, yeah.
Those two guys are out right now, and I think that
– Well, Pack played Monday.
Yeah. He played in the outfield. He didn't, right?
He hit Monday.
Okay, I missed that part. Okay, I missed the hitting part. Okay, because I knew he had come back on over the weekend and played in the outfield. Okay.
No, he started. That was Sunday he came in
right.
As an outfielder. But no, he started Sunday in the, or Monday against Air Force in the lineup. And
okay.
So we'll see what happens, how the season plays out. It's a long season. Look. Well, if we go 4-0 this week and then go split the midweek games in Mississippi, nobody will even be thinking about losing to
right.
Monmouth and Air Force. So we can forget about this crap really fast. Suddenly we blow out Elon tomorrow night. We win the Keith LeClair Classic. We go 3-0 through that and then split the Mississippi games. Guess what? We're feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, and anything's possible. That's why you play the games. And the good news about baseball, it's not like –
possible. I definitely think we can win these next 4 and split the games in Mississippi.
And the great thing about it is you have games to play where football, You got to wait a damn week to play in the next game. You got the sting of the North Carolina A&T loss in football. And you're, God, we got to wait another damn week before we have a game. And now we have baseball. It hurts, but yet you've got games you can recover. And I think we're going to be just fine. So I'm not panicking.
I was honestly surprised we lost the Air Force. I thought the way we were pitching earlier, the way we were picking their guys off early in that game, and as mad as we were after that Monmouth game, I was genuinely surprised we lost the Air Force.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Pirates have the big game against Elon this afternoon at 4 o'clock, so make sure you pack Clark LeClair Stadium and hopefully the next
dollar
podcast.
Dollar dog?
That's right. And Kyle will be paying $25 for a hot dog or – we'll put that email into Ryan about how much he paid for that when we were together last couple weeks ago. So that
two barbecue sandwiches, a bottle of water, and a Coke, $20.
Yeah, and when you have a family like I do, a five, you just can't afford that, you know. So anyway, do you guys want to get Sam on the line? Do you think we're ready for? You want to go to Sam?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
For our favorite guest we have on, and certainly we're excited to have him back, Sam Raz from the Scott Holtman podcast. Sam, how you doing, man? Great to have you back, as always.
Doing great. Thanks for having me back again, guys.
Yeah, we're excited for you. I was real thrilled to see. I'm a huge basketball fan, and out of the gate, how does it feel to have College Game Day, man, coming to you guys? I mean, that's really cool.
If I had to pick one word for it, I would say surreal. It's just, this season's been incredible. I think I had high expectations for what Cougar basketball would be in 2018, 2019, but the reality is just so far exceeded. This team, you know, could legitimately say they're one of the best in the country, and that's never been the case in my lifetime, certainly. If I slam a jam, I predated my birth by a handful of
that
years.
That's in my lifetime.
Yeah, and just so this is the first time I'm able to say that, and it's obviously been heck of a ride so far.
Well, you're looking at I was in elementary school when that was going on, so that's been a couple of years ago. I mean, you're talking what I would say 82 to 84 was
yeah,
when
that was the run there, yeah.
Yeah, that run for the Final Fours and got a little, I mean, that team, oh my God, that was like a, I'm not just saying this, Sam, because you're on, that was like a all-star team. McCride Drexler, Team Elijah won. I mean, it was just so many great Cougar teams and during that era, and it's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about that a few weeks ago, about this is the best Cougar team, like as far as being dominant, I've seen in a long, long time, and maybe back to that. I can't think of recent times, but it probably there's been good teams, but I think this is a great team.
Yeah, I would say last year's team that, you know, went to the tournament and finished in most top 25s. You know, that was our first really team that approached greatness since Five Slam Jam. I mean, we had some, you know, decent teams in the meantime. You know, some teams that got hot at the right times of the year. But, you know, it, really the last 25, 30 years relative to Houston's history has been a pretty serious kind of basketball desert.
The good news is now you have, with basketball doing well, you've got a one hell of a football coach, Dana Holgerson, and I mean, it's just you guys are on a ride, and I know, do you want to talk about the TV deal? Have you heard anything on your end of things of, like, the deal? We're hearing the deal's coming down maybe this week, and we're hearing $8 million. I don't know if you heard that, but that's what we're hearing on our end.
Not only am I hearing $8 million, I'm hearing it could be bigger than that. I'm hearing it could be $10 to $14 million.
Oh, wow.
The only thing I've heard is apparently the Memphis president, he hasn't said anything publicly about it, but he's, you know, he's talked real highly about it. The only other thing I've seen besides that, just that the Memphis president was real over the moon about it, was that apparently a decent amount of this conference's inventory might end up on their new ESPN Plus platform. Have you all heard that?
No, that would be great.
I've speculated at that, and the reason
that's what we talked about, yeah.
The reason I thought we did have a chance to get a big TV deal, and then it was because of that app. Right now, what's available on that app for college athletics is really not very appealing, and for that app to be a successful subscription-based app, they need quality content, and also they're going to need a lot of good content for ESPNU going forward, particularly with the new ACC network starting off. So that's going to take
yeah.
more. So I think between ESPNU and ESPN Plus, they need the American. What you're talking about from the Memphis president, he did say it publicly on Memphis radio this past Friday that he was very pleased with the deal, and he expects it to be announced formally, hopefully this week. Orasco was asked about it, and he kind of just he was asked how negotiations were going, and he said very well and smiled big. So I do know that the Memphis president was hoping for he said publicly he was hoping for $10 million or above, and for him to say he was very pleased with what we ended up with leads me to believe we hit that mark. The Sports Business Journal, Sam, their prediction was $8 million. So
okay, that's $8 million. Okay.
That's the lowest number I'm hearing. So, I mean, that's huge. If we get at least eight and potentially 10 or more.
Oh, my
I mean,
God.
We're getting $2 million right now. I mean, that's huge for American Athletic Conference schools.
Yeah, and I think it'd be great. I think all so many of our programs, you know, just have this potential. And yeah, if we're able to do what we're able to do right now with a fifth of that, yeah, that's, you know, that. Game changer might be a bit strong, but like somewhere very close to being a game changer for sure.
No, I think you're wrong. I think it's a game changer. I think if you hit that $10 million mark or better, I think then you can legitimately pursue legal action to make yourself an autonomous conference and be a part of the Power Six, because there's no reason you can't at that point. There's no reason we can't do everything the autonomy conferences are doing, or the power conferences as they're called. And they're going to have to either let us be a part of that group, or we're going to have justification to sue at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I hope that's the case.
If you think about it too, there's we're doing everything that they want, like everything they're doing, except we're not getting the tie-ins, the bowls as far as the big ones, and. That case, and you look at you guys with, I think with the hiring of with Dana coming back, with going to Houston, I was just like, wow, the amount that you guys paid, you know, got him for, and all that—that's big boy football. That's not just barely, you know, Division I, you know, FBS. That's like big boy football. I mean, how many schools can say that? Even the ACC, they're getting $4 million a year.
I think. We are all still kind of living in dreamland with that, and you know, can't believe that, you know, this school's donors, obviously Tillman Fertitta, chief among them, were able to ante up, you know, that much for a head football coach.
How what do you think expectations? And I know we're supposed to be talking about basketball, but
we will.
What you guys are paying Holgorsen? What do you think expectations are going? He's going to have to meet to justify what you guys are paying him. I mean, are you guys going to be happy with winning, with just, you know, let's say you guys win the conference championship 3 out of 5 years, but you don't sniff a New Year's Six bowl. Well, will you guys be happy with that, with what you're paying him? Or do you guys, or is pretty much with that kind of contract, he's going to have to get used to a New Year's Six bowl?
You know, I think if that scenario plays out like you said, that, you know, Cougars win 3 of 5 years, the AAC championship, I think his job would be secure. I think a good chunk of the fan base would still be happy with what he's doing. But I think there would be a vocal and growing minority that would be, you know, like, well, we're paying him this much. Why aren't we being the New Year's Six game? Because I think, to some extent, the fact that we went to the Peach Bowl Tom Herman's first year in 2015 is always going to skew this fan base's expectations a bit unrealistically. I mean, the expectations have always been kind of unrealistically high here, but that obviously kicks things, you know, off gear a fair amount. So, but I would say his job would be secure, and the people making the big money decisions would be happy if Dana delivered 3 conference titles in the next 5 years.
And you had one major donor. You said his name earlier. What is his name again that made it possible for you guys to hire Dana?
Tillman Fertitta, who's a big casino and hospitality guy in this part of the country, and he's also the chair of the University of Houston Border Regions, and he attended U of H, but I think he ended up finishing his degree at Texas Tech. But, you know, I guess an alum in the lose the sense of the word, and that he attended U of H as well.
Okay.
Hey, can we have where are those guys for East Carolina?
Oh, we got one. His name is Vince McMahon. We just can't get
him. Yeah,
to
I was gonna say he's a wrestling guy.
Yeah, he's a billionaire, and it'd be nice to have that. Would you guys change the name to the WWE like field or something?
We could call it Know Your Role Boulevard and whatever. I mean it doesn't matter. You can call it WrestleMania Stadium or WWE Stadium or I don't care if he was to donate the kind of money that dude's donating to Houston. I mean, I don't call it anything you want.
I mean, he could literally donate
$100 million. WWE Dowdy Ficklin Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally could donate $100 million and it wouldn't even hurt him.
And it wouldn't. He loves football. He's too busy worried about starting up the XFL again. What he should be doing is, you know. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Sam, what's it going to be like Saturday, and how much buzz is it gonna take out of the game day coming to Houston when East Carolina upsets the Cougs tomorrow night?
God, that's not going to happen.
I kind of looked at you. I've probably watched about a half dozen ECU games this year. I wouldn't say start to finish, but I've caught you guys a little bit in the non-conference and probably four or five conference games. I mean, I remember that Memphis game at Memphis. ECU had them until the last minute there. And, you know, one thing my co-host and I like to do is, you know, look at an opposing team and, you know, talk out, okay, how does X opponent win this game? And, you know, they just kill us on the boards or they just get super hot from deep and, you know, I kind of looked at the Cincy game to see, okay, well, you know, how did this ECU team beat a legitimately good top 25 Cincinnati team? And, you know, I'll say I'm not arrogant enough to say if, you know, the likes of Sean Williams, Seth Ledet, you know, those guys, you know, shoot just super, super hot from deep. You know, this Cougar team has been kind of inconsistent offensively. If you're looking for a relative weakness in this team, the offense kind of comes and goes. The free throw shooting's inconsistent. You know, there's some guys with really unique and strong skill sets, but you know, it's if you're looking for relative weaknesses on a 26-1 team, that's it right there. And you know, if ECU's fired up to play a top 10 team, shooting hot from deep, yeah, this game you get real uncomfortable. I mean, heck, we were only up 8 on Tulane at halftime in New Orleans, and I think Tulane's a demonstrably worse team. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of scenarios where, you know, the Cougars are taking a 3 or 4 point lead into halftime, if that. I think that really ECU's – but just this Cougar team has always just come out, you know, like a ton of bricks in the second half. And that's, I think, that's where I have a hard time seeing ECU pull this one out. But, yeah, you know, I mean – there's a blueprint in that Cincinnati one right there, and I'm not arrogant enough to say you can't do the same thing to us on Wednesday night.
We play 5-on-3? Can you have 3 Houston players, 5 ECU players? Is that fair?
I think y'all could pull it out.
We would have to play the best game. We would have to have our best game of the year. We would have to hit tons of threes and
60% from the field.
I think our only chance would be Houston comes out thinking about Saturday with game day coming to town and turns the ball over a whole lot. That's going to be our only chance. And then still we would have to be hitting a lot of shots.
What it comes down to is here's the game plan that the defensive game plan for against East Carolina. All you have to do is double team Gardner, and if we're not hitting threes, the game's over. And that's been, unfortunately, the storyline this year, I think. And then we've done a better job at the beginning of the year. We were turning over the ball. I remember Kyle, some of the podcasts, oh my God, we're turning the ball over. And then we're like, now that we've done a nice job taking better care of the basketball. The problem is something we've dealt with for many years. We just don't have the big men that we need down low. As Bubba talks about, the rim protector, like a really good shot blocker. We don't have a true center, and that's what we're missing right now. We've got a lot of pieces there, but we don't have people down low. We've done a decent job rebounding, I think, but overall, that's the one thing that's been missing for a lot of EC fans is please get some big men. That, and then you have some nice pieces, but that's the elephant in the room.
I think that's really, and that's honestly been an underrated part of, you know, Houston's kind of surge the last 2 years. You know, Kelvin Sampson's second and third year, the team was pretty decent. We have a couple of, you know, current pros that were playing on those teams, but just the big men just weren't worth a darn. Just, you know, good kids, all of them, but just it was definitely a hindrance to this team. And, you know, none of U of H's big men put up gaudy numbers this year, but, you know, eventually Sampson was able to find guys who were willing to, you know, come to Houston and were also a bit more skilled. And, yeah, I think that's the next step for Joe Dooley. But I think I told you at the beginning of the season, Dave, if Joe Dooley ended up with around 11 or 12 regular season wins, that I think this year would be an unqualified success. I still feel that way, you know. Just having the season play out, you know.
Well, before we had you on the line, I was talking about how the thing that Kyle mentioned at the beginning of the season that hurt us is Sean Williams wanted added to serve a 6-game suspension for smoking a form of cigarettes that you can't smoke. And I'll just say that, and that's the word. Anyway, he fails a drug test is what the word was. We lose him for 6 games. You have a JMU game. You have a buzzer beater. You lose by one. You have a high point team. The Tubby Smith's alma mater. He's going back to coach there. We lose by 3. There's games like that that just Kyle said, oh, man, these games could come back to haunt us. And Bubba was right. I mean, you take two or three of those games. So we had a game against Charlotte. Coulda, shoulda, wouldn't, didn't. The Wilmington game, we started off slow. It seems like our team, another thing I was going to say, Sam, is the reason why it'll be very difficult to beat Houston is that we have a tendency for our team to, except for maybe that at Memphis game, but there's been some bright spots, but we start off slow and then we have to fight our way back. When you play a team like Houston, you cannot start off slow or it's going to be game over in the early part of the first or middle of the first half.
Yeah, and just I think that's the one thing this Houston team does really well is just play defense. And you know, if Houston's coming out shooting hot, like it's not going to, this isn't a team that gives up easy baskets. I don't think that's something I've ever really been able to say about a Cougar team with the absolute certainty I'm saying it right now. Is just this team isn't going to give up easy points. This team, you know, you're going to have to hit a lot of difficult contested shots to beat this Cougar team, and that's probably how you end up 26-1 here in late February.
And that's amazing, and the fact that I've told a lot of guys between at work, people on the street, I've told them, I said, there's one team out there, and they just have to be in our conference, an American. I said, there better be some teams to really take a good look at Houston because they could make a nice little run in the tournament and knock off teams that people didn't think, oh, but maybe now that they're definitely in the top 10 and all that, they'll pay more attention to people will know, but I think there's a lot of time this season where people underestimated Houston, and you guys have just keep climbing. It's like climbing a ladder rung by rung.
Yeah, I think, you know, what made the end of last year so painful wasn't just, you know, losing a buzzer beater that gets replayed about 50 times a week, but just knowing the fact that you were a free throw away from closing out the national runner-up, Michigan, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you guys? Are you guys, how do you feel about tonight's game against Houston?
Like I said earlier, I think it would take more of Houston making a lot of mistakes and not being focused. Well, and then even so, we would have to hit a lot of outside shots. There's a chance and the chance is slim to none, and slim is on the way out of town. So I
one more thing that I failed to mention, too, by the way, Kyle, and we've talked about it, Bubba, is the they make, like, Cephalde, for example. He'll make a nice move to the basket, and they just can't finish. I don't know what that's the mystery. The enigma for the whole season for me is they make nice moves, and you got to be able to finish. We're talking about like little layups, like 3-4 foot from the basket that close. You got to be able to make those shots, and I think that's been the
that's
one
confidence.
Thing. Yeah, that's what I say. Is I think that it comes down to mental there, because they are athletic. They have talent, and I think there's a handful of guys on the team. And then they're just a few pieces away, and just like that. But that's another thing. Watch that, Sam, tomorrow night. If you see ECU missing some easy shots they shouldn't miss, then you'll know, yeah, this one can get out of hand early for the Pirates, and the Cougars will be cruising along early on, or maybe it'll be early in the second half. Who knows? But that's another factor that I'll be looking for.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this is confidence. At this level, like, every team is going to have, you know, good athletes. I went up this year to watch us play in Dallas against SMU, and, you know, see the two teams run on the court, you would have thought SMU was the team that was in the top 25 and it was the 9-point favorite. But, you know, it's the coaching and also just the confidence of, you know, being a team that hasn't lost very much this year. You know, losing begets losing and winning begets winning. And I think that's good. I mean, you know, that and just kind of overturning, you know, history, that's going to be Joe Dooley's big challenge. I think he'll get some decent recruits to Greenville. You know, it's getting all those guys to, you know, believe and take that next step. And, I don't need to tell you that's the challenge of a program like ECU. And really, you know, in truth, the last 30 years of Houston basketball is just like a program just dies and so used to not being very much, honestly. And you got to change that. And it's difficult. I think Joe Dooley's up for the challenge as much as anyone out there. But, it's not a one-year build. And I think it's good to see your guys' fan base has kind of the right attitude about that. It reminds me a lot, honestly, of our first year in Samson. It was just kind of, whatever you do is a nice bonus, and really didn't start judging the project until year two or year three at the earliest.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that we had Mike DeCourcy on last week. We were just talking about before you had on, and the expectation. It's one thing if you're East Carolina football, and we've had a lot of good years. You're about to go crazy. 3-9 seasons, you're about to lose your mind. But when you have so many losing seasons, then you can't jump off the ship early with Dooley, because there's no basketball culture to begin with. So that's why you need to support. And the other thing is these guys, the coaches, all four coaches have been winners everywhere they've gone.
Yeah, so that's a real important thing, you know.
So, well, let me ask you this before we let you go. I failed to ask this early when I was talking about game day. What's the crowd? What do you think the crowd is going to be like with you guys? I mean, you guys have obviously a top 10 program. Who knows where they end up between now and the end of regular season and the conference tournament. What do you think about as far as the crowd on Saturday? Can you give us kind of the details on like the crowd? I think it's going to come in there, what, an hour earlier, and then by like, what, 9 a.m. or something?
Yeah, I think there'll be a good crowd for it. We had college game day for football eight years ago now, during the 2011 season when, you know, Case Keenum's final year on campus here. And I expect, you know, the game itself, I expect to be as close to a butts in seats sellout as we had for any game since, you know, probably LSU and Oregon, which were our biggest crowds, like, in-game. And I think for game day, it's going to be a real good crowd, people getting there early, real hard time getting in that camera space. I know the students will show up in big numbers. And yeah, it's the good thing and the bad thing of Houston sports fans. I say this as someone who's, you know, raised in the city and is a big fan of the local university and all the pro sports teams. You know, it's an event city. If people think it's going to be a big event, they'll show up for that. The humdrum, the, you know, big game against a team that might not be a household name, you know, we're getting there on that. I think people recognize, regardless of opponent, this Cougar basketball team is worth showing up for, but this isn't a talent fan base that's really good at, you know, showing up for not big events, but for something like game day, you know, the cameras are going to be there. It's something U of H has never gotten. Yeah, I think that arena will be almost full for game day. I'll be real interested to see. I'm going to actually drive out from where I am in Central Texas to Houston on Saturday to catch that one and be at game day and also be at the game itself. I'm pretty excited, as you can probably guess.
Well, hopefully you'll tweet that out for us, and that will be tweeted out there so we can get a little taste inside there, inside the arena.
Yeah, no, I'll be taking as much footage and photos as my service allows. I'm pretty excited. I missed game day. I was in Houston, but I just wasn't able to make the football game day. So I'm gonna make up for it by being there this coming Saturday morning.
Now, Sam, something I wanted to ask you before we let you go. I know we talked off the air as far as the announcement that the game day crew was coming to Houston. You said there was a cool video announcement on the Jumbotron or whatever,
yeah.
the video board in the arena. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so at halftime, the announcer said, they just announced, and there's announced today Houston is getting game day. And then, without warning, they just cut to the three guys in studio, and they just started addressing it. Houston, we're so excited to be here, next Saturday. And they talked a little bit about Five Slam at Jamba. They talked about specifics of this year's team, how good this year's team is, when's the next time this team is going to lose a game, see potential and all that. And it was just like, I think it just wasn't lost on me. Like, these guys are specifically addressing Houston basketball about a big event that could be anywhere in the country, but they're choosing it to be in Houston. That, I don't know why that was the one moment that just kind of made it sink into me, but yeah, it was really cool to see the message. It was, I don't know if Billis was on there, but I know for sure Greenberg and Jay Williams were. I can't remember the third guy now, but
was it Seth Davis?
Yeah, no, Seth was a CBS guy.
I meant to say Reese Davis.
Yeah, Reese Davis.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was Reese Davis. But yeah, just getting a personalized message, just among many other things, says really how far this program has come this year.
Well, Sam, I'm very excited for you guys, and what a nice run. And hopefully the Pirates can put up – we're hoping for a big fight there, a great basketball game. Disappointed it's going to be on ESPN3. Maybe that's for our benefit that people don't have to see a butt kicking, but we'll wait and see on that. And good luck to you guys the rest of the season, and we'd love to have you back on sometime in tournament time.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the ECU-Houston baseball series is going to be, in my opinion, probably the best in the American Conference this year. So pretty excited for that. So thanks for having me again, y'all.
Appreciate you, Sam, very much. Sam is really cool. Like him. And, again, good luck to Houston the rest of the season. But we want the Pirates to win tonight. And they're at Williams Arena and Menchie's Coliseum. That game is at 7 o'clock. ESPNU, of course, are good friends.
ESPN3.
I am getting very tired. ESPN3, and that'll be also on the radio, 107.9. We'll have that for the flagship station. Jeff Charles and Cy Seymour, who I saw last night at my job. So he looked surprised when he saw me sitting at the desk when he walked in. But anyway, good luck to them, and I know that's going to be a great broadcast for sure. Guys, you have any more? I was just thinking about this. Houston. Just think about this, where we can be in a few years. Houston in basketball, they're having college game day. Tonight, we're giving away 500 beach towels to get our students there. But I tell you what, if there's anybody that can do it, I really believe this administration, we're headed in the right direction with our athletics. So at least we have a lot to be excited about versus.
And what if we make history tonight? What if we upset number 6 Houston? What
oh
if
my
the
God.
Students take their beach towels and are running all over the court?
That would be awesome.
What if? You never know.
Well, that's the thing. The great thing about you have to play the games, and the great thing about the American, all three of us, I find myself watching a lot of American basketball on the ESPN platform, whatever family of networks that we're on, and there's a lot of good games. I mean, there really are a lot of good teams in the league, and again, I think that going back to what you were talking about, Kyle, before we go, I'm anxious. I've been like a kid in the candy store. I don't think Bubba's excited as you and me, Kyle. I don't know, maybe, but I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Bubba, but this is something I've been waiting for the last two or three years, just curious to see what we could get. And I really believe that we're going to get good news, and I don't want to jinx it, but there we go, right? I just jinxed it, but I really feel like we're going to be good.
That TV deal, I disagree with Sam when he said he didn't think it would be. He said he don't know if he'd call it a game changer. When you go from 2 million to, let's just, if it is, you know, if it's $8 million, maybe that ain't a game changer. But if it's $10 to $14 million, yeah, that's a game changer. Your SEC, ACC money, you know, you're around $30 billion. So you're looking at, if it was $10 to $14 million, you're looking at roughly half of that. And all the other Group of Five conferences, the Mountain West is just shy of $2 million. The MAC is right around $1 million. Conference USA and the Sun Belt's only a few hundred thousand. So at that point, we would be so far above the Group of Five, you couldn't consider us a Group of Five conference anymore. That's what, when I say that they would have to legitimately consider us Power Six and putting us in the autonomy class,
yep,
meaning we would get to vote on things with anonymity from the other from the other Division One conferences, because that's all the Power Five really is.
Yep.
Is they have autonomous status, and we should be, if we get that kind of money, then we're more even with them than we are the other Group of Five leagues. And I think it's going to create a real interesting discussion if we do hit those double-digit marks per team in television revenue. And I'm excited. I still am just waiting to be disappointed when the numbers come out. But if we hit some of these rumored numbers, I'm going to lose my mind.
I mean, that... I know you said earlier, or definitely we've said off the podcast too, that's probably got to be one of the biggest days in the history of Pirate Athletics.
If you get over $10 million, and people are like, that's per year, that's not one time. That's every year that we can add to our revenue. I think it would be one of the biggest days in the history of East Carolina Athletics. Absolutely. Suddenly, all right, our athletic budget's what, Bubba, Dave?
40
million? 40 million. All right. Well, let's say we get $10 million.
That's 50.
That's a. I'm not good at math here, guys. What is that? A quarter? That's a quarter.
Yes.
That's a quarter of our athletic budget.
Oh man, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
I haven't thought about it like that, but you're right. And another thing is, think about this. Think about the when you look at the. The problems we had with, you know, talking about coaches or, you know, getting really good. Say, for example, the with football coaches, with the coaching pool as far as assistants.
Yeah, you can give guys raises.
You can give Houston. You can give Houston, for example. Let's say hypothetically, if I think he's gonna give. I'll tell you this. I don't know what year it'll be.
Oh yeah.
But he's definitely going to get double-digit wins at East Carolina.
Oh, well, look,
there's no question.
Say, let's say your team is 8-4, and you want to extend his contract, give him a nice raise.
Yeah.
You can do that now.
We can give him at least $2 million a year, for example.
At least three,
maybe.
More. I mean, you can pay the assistant. Suddenly, if we lose an assistant, you know, maybe he doesn't even want the raise, and you want to go hire Appalachian State's offensive coordinator. Well, now it's legitimately a huge step up.
Right.
Because we'll be able to pay them significant. I'm telling you, this not only from a budget standpoint, but just from a perception standpoint. If the,
right.
And again, this is, yes, we need to save a lot of this for if it does happen. If it happens, we're going to do a whole podcast about the TV deal.
Yep.
I'm Bubba, you got any thoughts on that, man? You're pretty quiet.
Yeah,
I'm like you. No, it's not the $30 million or whatever the SEC is getting, and it's not those numbers, but yeah, when you go from $2 million to $8 million or $2 million to $10, $12, $14 million, I mean, how's $10 million not a game changer? I mean,
well, especially when another thing it helps is, and this is something I was thinking about tonight, getting ready for the podcast with you guys, knowing we're going to talk about the television deal. I truly believe that is where, when we always joke about the term, it's not the right term, but they use a training table. It always makes me think about somebody wrapping somebody's ankles.
Right, I don't like it either.
I don't like the term. But anyway, nutrition is what I like, a nutritionist. Hiring people to cook meals for the – you can do a whole bunch of things like that, including the the one thing that came to mind, those that and the indoor practice facility, that yeah. becomes a reality. That becomes a reality
sure.
that we've never had before.
That's what was like that. Yeah, I mean, look, there are several things that kind of money will do. And the biggest thing I think of all is what it's going to do for the overall conference and the perception of the conference. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to start real conversations. If that television deal plays out, and I think $8 million will be good, but I don't know if that starts the conversations. But if you hit those double digits per team,
yeah,
I think you're going to have real conversations start of what is the American. It's really not – I think you may even see some pushback from the other group of five conferences saying it's not fair that we're lumped in with the American and have to share a spot with them because they have such an advantage over us. You see what I'm saying?
It's like if you think about it, it's like a 1-18 paying a 3 or 4-18 in high school football.
I mean, well, I wouldn't go that far, but in terms of money,
yeah,
it's really going to become if the TV deal plays out. It hasn't happened yet, but if it plays out and these numbers are true, it's going to create some interesting conversations.
Yeah, guys, to give you an idea, a little perspective, you're talking about funding an indoor facility. I looked up the indoor practice facility at NC State. I was thinking it was around $12 million. It was actually, according to what I read, around $14 million. So you think about that, that those extra funds and what that would do toward that type of project or a lot of different things.
Here another thing is that came to mind to me. I was thinking about the indoor, the nutritionist, and then the second thing that's pretty much for football, but we can use the indoor for other events and also sports. But here's another thing that I thought about is $4 million that we're trying to get for Cliff Godwin for the improvements for baseball. Bam, $4 million now. When you get that extra revenue, yes, we're going to raise it, but at the same time, they can do a lot more with that money. And $4 million now seems a lot bigger than if you've got the extra money in the budget.
Yeah, and something else too, Dave. People will, you know, our biggest strength in terms of money has always been our attendance. And when you can have the extra money to build an indoor practice facility, you can have the extra money to have a training table, and most importantly, you have the extra money to keep and hire good coaches, then you can put a good product on the field again. And when you can have a good product on the football field again because you have the money to do those other things, then attendance is going to start growing up, and that's going to create more revenue again.
Right. And you look at the another thing that I just thought about too is it hasn't crossed my mind until now is the recruiting budget. The recruiting budgets, can increase where we can go and get that guy out and whatever, wherever the person is, maybe it's a recruit that you are on the recruiting trail even more as far as budget is concerned. That's something else that everything across the board.
Yeah, it's going to affect everything. And like I said, I think the biggest thing that is going to affect is the perception of the conference. 8 years, like I said, if it plays out, and the money's what's rumored, you're going to have some interesting conversations. I mean, there's going to be some conversations that are going to need to be had. Does the American now financially, from a revenue standpoint, look more similar to the Big 12 or to the ACC than it does the Mountain West and Conference USA?
Here's what's funny is I was going to add that point. I'm glad you said the Big 12 because remember the previous administration with the whole, the Big 12 and East Carolina will make a nice travel partner with West Virginia. I'm not knocking the Big 12. Don't get me wrong. But
if you get the Big 12, you go to the Big 12.
But I know, but I'm just saying that, in other words, the American won't be the quote unquote consolation prize that a lot of people. And another thing is I think that the whole perception, and you're right about that word, whenever the whole Big East imploded as far as the basketball schools, taking the name and being the Big East, then it almost felt like that the American was like leftovers.
You mentioned the old Big East. I'm going to put this TV deal, if those numbers play out, into perspective.
the TV deal the Big East was offered, and then it got pulled off the table when it started to fall apart. But the deal that Trent Sleazy had negotiated and then declined, and then Orozco ended up having to come in. This is when they still had the basketball schools, all the Catholic schools.
Right.
This is when they still had Louisville at the time. They were offered $14 million per school. And Trent Sleazy turned it down because he thought the league was going to stay together. Louisville was going to go to the ACC, et cetera, et cetera. And then everything ended up falling apart on him, and we ended up with $2 million per. So basically, if those numbers pan out, it would be similar to what the last Big East contract would have been. So, and that was with Seton Hall, with all those basketball schools,
right,
with Louisville, with Rutgers.
Georgetown and all that.
Yes. So, if those numbers play out, and like I say, the low end up here is 8, which if we get the low end, that's still a huge increase.
Right.
And the fact that that is now the low end I'm hearing.
That's crazy, isn't
that's
it?
That's great. That's
yeah.
great. But if the numbers are true, man, and we hit that high end, we hit that 10 to 14 million, then per team every year, I think is a game changer. But we'll see. I hope that news comes out this week, and I hope it's what we want to hear. And we can have a podcast about it. And I'd love to get Gilbert up here if we get that deal and see what his reaction to it is. I mean, think about what that just how easy that makes his job. And hell, I mean, it means he gets a pay raise. But
yeah, everybody does. Yeah, across the board, it's champagne. what is this? The old Robin Leach.
Champagne, wishes, and caviar dreams.
Our dreams. I wanted to mention something. I just realized we hadn't talked about is the. So let's say that we get that big number, 10, 12, 14 million, that range. You got to keep the schools together with the grant of rights, right? I mean, we had.
Well, there's no grant of rights is going to be signed, from what I understand. Now, I am sure.
Really?
From what I understand.
Are you serious?
That's what I understand, and that
oh,
I don't
wow.
know if that's true.
But it makes
me wonder. Well, we could have got it if there was a grant of rights signed. I don't know. Maybe there will be a grant of rights being signed. Who knows? But I'm sure there's a caveat in that TV deal. That if we lose schools, then the TV deal has to be renegotiated.
Like Houston, Memphis, something like that.
Correct.
Or two or three.
It would have to be renegotiated.
Man,
I'm sure there will be. And, that's fair.
No, that's fair. I just think that I don't like that because I think this league has a lot of great schools. I think that, you know, that old saying, the cliche, the grass is not always greener. I understand like 30 mil and all that, but I'm just saying like in other words, this is not like the worst of like the last, what would be would you say the Conference USA getting like a 200,000, would that be the worst or the Sun Belt as far, I'm talking about TV deals, not their bad conferences. I'm talking about what they're getting paid.
Sun Belt and Conference USA are pretty much even of the group of five, I would say. Conference USA TV deal worth a little bit more than the Sun Belts.
Sun Belt is the lowest.
Yes,
that's what I'm guessing. I was guessing that. I didn't know I don't have the numbers in front of me. Obviously,
the MAC is actually higher than the Sun Belt and in Conference USA even because they're willing to play those wacky Tuesday and Wednesday games.
Which is yeah okay.
So I'll tell you one more thing, and then we'll get off this. Maybe I
yep.
can save this for if the TV deal actually happens. But I'll tell you something. That one interesting thing that could end up happening if we do get that kind of money, you could see a Boise State and a BYU suddenly come knocking on our door.
Well, I was thinking about that a few days ago when we were talking about the just out of curiosity with knowing that. Say if we have 12 teams now in the American, with say for football, when they propose these, you know, when you hear these mega conferences that they could go up to, like the SEC and the ACC and all those big school, the power conferences going up to 16 teams, is that
right.
something that we could see? I'm a conference.
Well, I mean, if here's the thing. Very important to BYU. If
they talk to us, we need to talk to others. In other words, if we hit those TV numbers and the BYU and Boise comes calling, we need to talk to others. Look, if we add these two, are we now going to get part of the Power Six legitimately? Are we now going to get a contract into your Six Bowl, ESPN? Are you going to expand the television contract accordingly where you're going to get the – not just where we're going to have to share this money now and it's going to lower everybody a little bit, but you're going to add another, you know, if it's $10 million, $20 million to it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I do think, and I mean, people are probably listening right now going, oh, man, he's jumping the gun. But, well, Mountain West TV deal is worth $1,800,000. You don't think Boise's going to come calling us if we're sitting with a $10 million UTV contract? BYU TV deal, I think, is worth $6 million. So again, $10 million more than $6 million.
And you know, and you think about and this is one thing that boggles my mind. And maybe it's because of the religious aspect of things. I don't know if it hurts BYU, but that's a brand name. And you would think that talking of expansion, the one thing with the BYU, you would think they would go to the Pac-12.
Well, hurt BYU getting into a Power Five conference over the winners is they will not play any sporting events on Sunday.
Right.
And
I think the religious aspect of it
really hurt them.
Yeah, and I respect them on that, but then I understand why that's – I understand both sides. Like, I understand business-wise, that would make a – if you're running a conference, it just seems like there needs to be 10 days in a week with all the events you got going on, or maybe 11.
Right. Hey, speaking of events, thanks for being there from that for a second. Hey, Bubba.
I'm here.
Are you coming with me and David to the David Alico concert in Greenville at the State Theater in April?
Do you like David Alico?
It would depend on when it is.
It's in April.
April 27th.
Yeah, but
April 27th?
Saturday, 27th. That's Saturday night around 7 o'clock. The door, I think, somewhere around there.
Doors are going to open. Show starts at 8, I believe.
Do the Pirates play at home that weekend? I don't know right offhand.
I don't know right offhand either. Just say yes.
I can't remember.
But the spring game's the 13th, is that right?
Yeah.
That's correct. So it's 2 weeks later. So we'll give you a bye week in between going to Greenville. We'll give you a bye week where you don't have to come.
Yeah,
and spend time with the wife, and then you come to the 27th, and we'll have a rocking good time. The State Theater, we need to get those folks remind me, we need to get – I know that's music-related.
Yes, let's get them on, and let's talk to them about Zeus from the Black Crows being there. What's his name?
Chris Robinson Brotherhood.
Yeah, and what I want to know is, and maybe people from the State Theater can tell me, if I go see the Chris Robinson Brotherhood, are they going to play just a bunch of blues stuff, which is cool that they're doing now, or are they going to also play some Black Crows? Am I going to get to hear it? She talks to angels and
jealous again.
Yeah,
and hard to handle.
Hard
and remedy.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's what I want to know. So we did need to get those people on because, you know, I might buy tickets for that too. But, you know,
Hey, guys, listen, not only are the Pirates home that weekend, we're at home against Tulane.
All right.
So Graf will be in town.
We're gonna get Graf for David Alico.
You need to tell Graf we need to get him cultured.
You know, that sounds like that sounds like a really bad movie, like The Hangover.
I don't know. Now he's from New Orleans, but you know that's southern,
oh my God.
Southern city. I'm sure he's been to more than one concert in his time.
I wonder if he's
a David Alan Coe fan. I don't know.
I'll say no, but I guess no. You never know.
So we'll get Graf, we'll get Cliff, but it'll be a big group outing. We'll all go see David Alan Coe, and we'll sing Never Even Call Me By My Name and The Ride and
Long-haired redneck.
Being long-haired redneck, yeah. Exactly.
Loudmouth. Hey, that's what I can see Kyle right now. Loudmouth in the corner is getting to me.
That's right. Talking about my earring and my hair.
It can't cover up your redneck, right?
That's right. And Divers Do It Deeper. There's another David Alan Coe song.
There you go. Well, guys, the David Allen Co., I tell you what, we got to make sure that we get that show again April 27th. And they need to be a sponsor now. We've actually
we've hyped their stuff. Exactly.
And we put them over big time. But I'm really happy for folks that don't know what I'm talking about. It used to be the Park Theater. If you were a kid in the 90s, you went to East Carolina, it was a great movie theater at $1.50. And you're a poor college kid, it was, I've sold tons of movies there in high school and college. But anyway, now
much
they've made
needed, much needed. Greenville needs a facility like that.
It's kind of like all the, it's kind of like all the, and we need to get Joe Toronto on, huge fan of him for The Attic. But a lot of those bands that used to go to The Attic back in the day, the 70s, 80s, 90s, for example, now those bands are going to go to, they have a new home at the State Theater.
Yeah,
so.
And by the way, unless otherwise indicated, I believe it's an all-ages facility. Obviously, got to be 21 to drink, but I believe, David, if you want to take Alexander and McKenzie to go see David Allen Coe.
I don't know. Can they?
I believe so. I believe it's an all-ages facility.
I'll double-check on that.
I'm 99%
this past
sure.
weekend, they had the kids love Michael Jackson, and they had the Michael Jackson tribute band, Who's Bad?
Right.
So anyway, if you know the Lincoln Theater in downtown Raleigh, it's the folks that own that. They've remodeled it. It's a lot like that. From the pictures I've seen, I haven't been inside, but good reviews so far, and I guess we could sort of we'll start the State Theater objective. So we can
do a music objective. I'm up for that.
Yeah, that would be really cool. But guys, I tell you what, it's going to be tremendous for that again. April 27th for David Allen Coe. If you're like us, then write on Facebook if you like David Allen Coe or if you've been to the State Theater. That would be great as well. The sports objective, but. We'll see about how things go with the Pirates. Obviously, Bubba, before we go, we've got some big podcasts coming up, too. I want to give you a chance to promote. Bubba, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Bubba, can you promote the upcoming podcast?
We're trying to get out of here.
I've been patiently waiting. The Keith LeClair special, where we talk to a host of people, both his wife and daughter, Lynn and Audrey, and then we also talked to Tommy Eason, who, of course, is on his staff and now is the head coach at Pitt Community, and a number of other folks. And then we'll have a preview of the three teams, Utah, Wright State, and Western Carolina, that are in this week's Keith LeClair Classic.
We'll have that on Friday. And then, of course, we also have we'll have Sunday. I know the Pirates are going to Tulsa in basketball. So we'll have one out around that time as well. So it's a busy. Kyle won't be able to sleep the next 3-4 days as he's getting ready for all the sporting events we have coming up. right? Are you going to get any sleep the next maybe a nap 3-4 hours? Maybe I think.
Yeah, I'll sleep.
Okay. All right.
And one last thing I wanted to mention, guys. Today is 17 years to the day. Well, today being Tuesday. That East Carolina knocked off Marquette when the Golden Eagles were ranked ninth. And we limited Dwayne Wade and company to something like 6 points over the final 12 or 13 minutes of that ball game to win 51-46. So hopefully 17 years and one day later, we'll find a way to pull the shocker over the Houston Cougars.
That would be great. I remember Dwayne Wade talking about how loud that crowd was that night. Unfortunately, I saw the game, but I didn't. I wasn't in the building that night. But I remember the students running the court. Flood all the court like they were just like that big mob of a crowd. And that's what I vaguely remember from that
game. Yeah, and of course, you have 6'10", whatever, 6'10", 6'11", Musa Body in with his arms raised.
Where
he's a head taller than everybody.
Wasn't Dwayne Wade also the name of the guy on The Different World?
I think so. The guy with the glasses, sunglasses. Yeah. He, definitely Dwayne was, I remember that part.
I swear to God, I think it was him.
It may be. We'll have to get
so
our
my wife says it was Dwayne Wade.
Wayne. That's right. You're close. That was a constant all for you. So I'll give you that. All right, guys, let's put this podcast to bed. Thank you, Bubba, so much. I want to thank you publicly. He's been working his tail off. We've been doing
some. And later, he'll thank you privately.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. You know, Kyle could never keep things above board, so the Kyle Unleashed is coming soon to the Sports Objective. We'll have that premium content. We're not going to give that stuff away for free. But anyway, Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle from the Grange, thank you, guys. I'm Dave Richmond. You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.